Need trusted evidence on the go? Save time and deepen your clinical understanding with engaging multimedia options. Anesthesiology videos, infographics, and podcasts deliver trusted evidence to physicians looking to remix their research experience. See what's featured this month at anesthesiology.org.
Welcome to the Anesthesiology Podcast. I'm Evan Karish, Editor-in-Chief, with some highlights from the April 2023 issue as selected by the editors of Anesthesiology. This month includes a study on whether nitrous oxide or nitrogen results in different risks of respiratory complications following major surgery, and another study that questions if spinal cord stimulation improves ventricular arrhythmias and cardiac function, as well as some research on high respiratory rates and their impact on mechanical ventilation. In a classic paper revisited, Dr. Charles Cote reviews his seminal research on pulse oximeters and their use in anesthetized children. Let's start with a clinical study that explores postoperative pneumonia after major surgery. We know that respiratory complications are the most common and most serious adverse outcome of major surgery. Evidence from large, reliable clinical trials really has been lacking. Using post-hoc data collection, some researchers led by Dr. Philip Payton from Melbourne Medical School and colleagues there and elsewhere reviewed whether patients receiving nitrous oxide versus nitrogen had a difference in the incidence of postoperative atelectasis or pneumonia. They used data from the Enigma II trial, which was a multicenter randomized trial, and they found that the incidence of atelectasis was lower with the use of nitrous oxide compared to the use of nitrogen. There was no difference in postoperative pneumonia, which contradicted some earlier findings. In an accompanying editorial, Dr. Marcello Gamadea-Bru and Daniel Sessler from Cleveland Clinic write that there is much uncertainty about these findings and that nitrous oxide has little effect on atelectasis and none on pneumonia. Read this article for free in this month's issue or listen to the featured author podcast with the study author and the editorialists. Next, let's shift to a clinical study on allergic reactions to chlorhexidine, which is a topical antibacterial agent. Chlorhexidine is increasingly being used in products such as urethral gels, skin disinfectants, mouthwashes, and central venous catheters. Little's been studied about allergic reactions to chlorhexidine. Researchers led by Dr. Hao Zhao at the Allergy Center of West China Hospital in Chengdu, China, conducted a retrospective analysis of patients who underwent chlorhexidine allergy testing. Their study showed that most of the allergic reactions to chlorhexidine were attributed to skin disinfectants used prior to intravenous cannulation. The authors suggest that chlorhexidine should be used sparingly, particularly as there is little evidence suggesting that chlorhexidine reduces infection compared to other antiseptics. The authors also suggest that awareness of possible allergic reactions should be increased. This article is free to read in this month's issue. Our next study uses a laboratory animal model to explore myocardial ischemia and reperfusion. We know that each year, 4 million people worldwide will not survive the first 30 days after surgery. Adverse cardiac events are the most common cause of that postoperative mortality. Previous reports have found that spinal cord stimulation therapy can improve ventricular arrhythmias and cardiac function. However, the mechanisms are still unknown. In this article, Dr. Kimberly Howard Quijano from the University of Pittsburgh and colleagues tested the hypothesis that spinal cord stimulation can reduce myocardial ischemia reperfusion-induced sympathetic excitation and ventricular arrhythmias that would be mediated through GABA or gamma-aminobutyric acid-mediated pathways in the spinal cord. They used a model of Yorkshire pigs. The pigs were randomized to control ischemia reperfusion and ischemia reperfusion plus spinal cord stimulation. Their findings suggest that spinal cord stimulation during cardiac ischemia resulted in less myocardial sympathoexcitation and ventricular arrhythmias. The administration of intrathecal GABA and GABA receptor blockade during spinal cord stimulation therapy abolished the protective myocardial effects of spinal cord stimulation and increased sympathetic excitation and arrhythmias. These experiments provide us with some new insights into how spinal cord stimulation might be used to reduce cardiac ischemia reperfusion-induced sympathoexcitation and ventricular arrhythmias. In an accompanying editorial, Drs. Karsten Bartels and Amanda Fox write that these findings are intriguing, but it's a little unknown right now how they can be applied to clinical practice. Suggest that you delve deeper into the research by listening to the featured author podcast with the study authors and the editorialists. Our next study is another one which uses a laboratory animal model. It examines the impact of a high respiratory rate, which is known to potentially cause ventilator-induced lung injury. Mechanically ventilated respiratory support is obviously needed for clinically ill patients. Can a recruitment maneuver help protect against potential lung injury due to an increase in respiratory rate? Dr. Henrique Xavier from Federal University of Rio de Janeiro and colleagues from there and elsewhere tested the hypothesis that a recruitment maneuver before abruptly increasing respiratory rate would attenuate any injury to the lung resulting from that abrupt increase in respiratory rate. They tested this in rats. The rats were anesthetized and mechanically ventilated with respiratory rate increases. The rate in the abrupt group was increased from 70 to 130 breaths per minute, while in the gradual group, the breaths were gradually increased. Cumulative diffuse alveolar damage scores were lower in the shorter and longer respiratory rate adaption groups than in animals with abrupt increases in respiratory rate. These findings suggest that gradually increasing respiratory rate can mitigate the development of ventilation-induced lung injury. And in an accompanying editorial, Dr. Kanji Yoshida writes that this is an interesting study with some potential clinical applications. Let's move on to our next study. We know that when left untreated, thoracic aortic aneurysm disease can be deadly. Traditional open repair and thoracic endovascular aortic repair can cause ischemic spinal cord injury. A clinically relevant mouse model of thoracic endovascular aortic repair-induced ischemic spinal cord injury has been lacking. Researchers led by Dr. Hesham Kalimi and colleagues from Ohio State University tested the hypothesis that double ligating three pairs and single ligating two pairs of adult mouse intercostal arteries would simulate thoracic endovascular aortic repair-induced ischemic spinal cord hypoperfusion. Mice were divided into sham and ligation groups. Three pairs were double ligated and two pairs were single ligated, that is, the arteries. Ligation induced a significant and instantaneous drop in blood flow in the intercostal arteries and the thoracic spinal cord. The investigators found that their mouse model generates reproducible spinal cord hypoperfusion. They theorized that this animal model might provide translational potential towards understanding and the discovery of potentially neuroprotective drugs to prevent or treat ischemic spinal cord injury. Our next study addresses neurocognitive effects of surgery. We know that neurocognitive decline affects millions of patients every year, but its exact etiology is still very much unknown. Some evidence suggests that perioperative stress, neuroinflammation, and pre-existing neurodegenerative diseases can play a role in the development of neurocognitive decline. Are young adults with pathophysiological conditions more vulnerable to neurocognitive disorders? Dr. Ling Xiaju and colleagues from the University of Florida College of Medicine theorize that the effects of traumatic brain injury, surgery, and sevoflurane can interact to induce neurobehavioral abnormalities. They had a surgery group of rats that had craniotomy without traumatic brain injury, and the sevoflurane group had sevoflurane only. The injured rats exhibited the greatest increases in serum corticosterone and interleukins. They also exhibited greater behavioral differences. Similar abnormalities were observed in their male offspring, but not the female offspring. These interesting findings stress the need to investigate the dynamics of intergenerational perioperative neurocognitive disorders in patients with traumatic brain injury. And finally, this month's Classic Papers Revisited is a reflection authored by Dr. Charles Cote about his single-blind study of pulse oximetry in children. It was originally published in 1988. The study concluded that pulse oximetry provided an early warning of developing hypoxemia in anesthetized children. In his reflections, Dr. Cote remarks that this research came at a pivotal moment in his medical school training, a moment with a preterm baby with hyaline membrane disease led him to the start of casual clinical observations and then finding his niche, ultimately improving patient safety. Read Dr. Cote's thoughts on his lifetime spent in research after finding his passion. He describes it well in this article. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back next month to bring you highlights from the May 2023 issue.
Need trusted evidence on the go? Save time and deepen your clinical understanding with engaging multimedia options. Anesthesiology videos, infographics, and podcasts deliver trusted evidence to physicians looking to remix their research experience. See what's featured this month at anesthesiology.org.